I always wondered why nobody did it before me. I mean, all those comic books, movies, TV shows. You'd think the one eccentric loner would have made himself a costume. I mean, is everyday life really so exciting? Are schools and offices so thrilling that I'm the only one who ever fantasized about this? Come on, be honest with yourself. At some point in our lives, we all wanted to be a superhero.
Hello and welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is the this is episode 25.
Woo!
In what is now, I think, officially a long and drawn out series, my friends. Thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, Aaron Roden.
The king, baby.
And I always kind of wanted to be a superhero. I don't know about yourselves. I still wouldn't mind being one, but I think I would much rather have, like, actual superpowers rather than just relying on me having to stay in shape. Because, as I've said before on many occasions, I am a very, very lazy person. So, anyway, boy, we've got... This is of course, a midweek bonus episode. This is a Wednesday night bonus for all of you out there, because we had the pleasure, or I had the pleasure, of meeting Mr. Phoenix Jones, the Guardian of Seattle, last Sunday. Or not Sunday, Saturday. The day after Thanksgiving, wasn't it? Yeah. And had a great interview with the guy. Got to meet him and take in all of his superhero-ness. He came, you know, met him in the university district, and he came waltzing down the sidewalk wearing his superhero costume, which is like thick rubber, and we talk a little bit about that in there. And he, I mean, you know, super cool guy. I thought the guy was just gonna be nutso, right? I mean, that's what you think. First off, but, you know, couldn't have been more normal and more into being a superhero and, you know, more of a cool guy. I mean, he was pretty down to earth, open to talk with us, and I hope you enjoy that. One thing I would like to go over is that on Sunday, the day after I met with Mr. Phoenix Jones, I had the pleasure of attending the GWAR concert here in Seattle. And I had never been to a GWAR concert before, but holy crap, man, it was so awesome. It was so cool. If you have a chance out there to go see GWAR while they're on tour, I think they're still on tour, you should go and see them, because they put on an absolutely amazing show. And me and, or I should say Alex and I... Alex Lilario, who was on the show on episode 24 with Tony, we made the wise decision of standing in what I liked to call the 30-year-old ring of the mosh pit, because we were kind of on the outer cell wall of this moving, like, amoeba of people that were just, like, pushing and shoving and crashing into each other. And I hadn't been really involved in a mosh pit like that for quite some time. I think the last one was the Seaweed release reunion show in Tacoma, where a little stage diving was happening. But yeah, so I'm on this outer wall, this outer cell wall of the mosh pit with Mr. Alex there. And every once in a while, the mosh would breach the walls, the cell walls of the 30-year-old ring, and would come spilling out. I got knocked over, I got my foot stepped on, got elbowed in the ribs, but, you know, came out alive. But so I was just standing there, and I was pushing people. I wasn't being pushed too much, so that was pretty sweet. But man, what an amazing show. I feel like my soul is still burning right now. After witnessing that stuff, got a little spot of fake blood landing on my tongue, which was a little crazy, and tasted a little bit like water. I thought it'd be like just straight up pure extracted Red Bull or something like that, but no, it's just colored water. But yeah, so let's talk a little bit about this meeting with Phoenix Jones. Absolutely amazing, like I said already, and I hope you enjoy the interview. The first couple segments that I did were at 11:30 in the morning, which is when I thought I was supposed to meet him there. However, come to find out, he meant 11:30 at night, and so there's a couple segments there where I think he actually ditched me. But before I let you listen to this amazing interview, a quick word for our friends down at Varellen Amplifiers here in the Fremont neighborhood of beautiful Seattle. Varellen Amplifiers features all handmade tube amplifiers. Great tone, great sound, built to last. And I own one of these amplifiers, and I can tell you, man, these things are awesomely loud and sound so good. They will make you sound good. Even if you're a horrible musician, they will make you sound perfect. Like you're Eddie Van Halen or Jimi Hendrix. They will make you sound like that. I don't know if they can actually substantiate that, those claims. So don't take my word for it. But you guys should check them out, VarellenAmplifiers.com. And let's get to this interview with Phoenix Jones, the Guardian of Seattle. Hope you enjoy it. My interview with Phoenix Jones here, the Guardian of Seattle. I'm sitting outside of Trabant Coffee and Chai here in the beautiful University District here in Seattle. And I don't know if I'm at the right place. I have no idea what this guy looks like. Of course, he keeps his face is all covered up. He wears a hat and possibly a cape. And I have no idea who this guy is. Been waiting for about 12 minutes now. And so we had this thing set up where we were supposed to meet at the corner of University and 45th at a coffee shop across the street from Key Bank. I was told that by Mr. Phoenix Jones himself that it's the only coffee shop open. But unbeknownst to me, there are about 3 coffee shops that are open across the street from Key Bank. So I'm hoping that I have the right one, and I hope I don't have to wait here all day. So we'll see. We'll check back in with you guys in just a little bit, see how this goes. Safe to say that I have been stood up by a caped crusader, unless he's like hiding on some of the rooftops here. I don't know, just looking down upon us and waiting for something magical to happen here. Did not meet up with Phoenix Jones today. I am walked around and walked from place to place and trying to look for the guy. Everybody at these coffee shops, very helpful. Very, very helpful in trying to help me lock this thing down.
but alas, did not happen. We'll have to wait another day to get Mr. Phoenix Jones, the Guardian of Seattle, on the Air Raid podcast. Hopefully this guy gives me a call here sometime soon, and we can meet up with him and talk to him about his superhero activities. But I guess we will have to see. All right, well, there's my interview with Phoenix Jones. Hope you enjoyed it. Oh, boy. Absolutely insane. So I am it's 11:05 at night right here. I'm driving back down to the University District because I received a call from Phoenix Jones, Mr. Phoenix Jones, the Guardian of Seattle, the Caped Crusader. He laughed at me. He laughed at me for thinking that we were meeting at 11:30 this morning. Can you believe that? He laughed at me for thinking that. I don't know. But, you know, I mean, how can I think that a real-life superhero is going to meet at 11:30 in the morning and reveal his secret identity to me? Anyway, so I'm on my way down there. This is going to be, I have a feeling this is going to be a great interview. This is going to be insane. So if you listen to one episode of Air Raid, of the Air Raid podcast, let this be the one. All right, I guess we'll see how this goes. And I'll check back in with you guys in just a moment. And I am sitting here at Trabant Coffee and Chai in the University District with none other than Phoenix Jones, the Guardian of Seattle. How's it going, Phoenix?
So far, doing pretty good.
And you came just waltzing down the street, and this whole getup that you got going on right now is, what kind of body armor are you wearing here, bud?
Well, it's right now there's no body armor in it at all. Okay. I took it off for our little meeting because I don't plan on fighting crime tonight. But normally,
you're having an off night here?
Yesterday there was a lot of commotion with a little gun shootout and some stuff that happened downtown, so I figured I might lay low for a day in this city. So if I patrol, I'm not going to patrol anywhere near Seattle.
So. Right, right. So you said there's a gun shootout. What happened?
As much as I can say is I was down by Twilight Bar and Grill. Well, actually not Bar and Grill, Twilight Bar downtown, and there was a disagreement. I went in to break up the disagreement, and while I was breaking it up, we heard 5 gunshots, and I was able to look over and see who was firing. The police got the situation under control, and I was able to identify the shooter.
Right, right.
But I can't say anything about who the shooter was or anything like that. So.
Right. So, let me ask you, let's kind of start this interview off here. How did this whole thing get started? And you're part of the Rain City superhero organization or movement?
Yeah.
Okay.
I created the Rain City Superhero Movement, which is, okay, to not be confused with the RLSH, which is the Real Life Superheroes, okay, which I'm not affiliated with, because they don't actually do anything. They just hand out food and sandwiches, which is cool, but it's not being a superhero in my book. Like, I have a different opinion.
Okay.
So those guys have actually written letters and permanently excommunicated me from using the RLSH title, because they're happy handing out sandwiches, and they're not. Some guy got beat up because he was in a neighborhood where people knew that we stopped crime because of me, and he beat the guy up thinking that guy stops crime when really all he does is hand out sandwiches. So wow. I got to make it real clear that I fight crime, whereas they hand out sandwiches.
Okay. Have you seen the movie Kick-Ass?
Yeah, I saw the movie.
Yeah. So did you get this idea to do this kind of stuff after Kick-Ass started?
No. I had read the book Watchmen and done a lot of other things way before Kick-Ass. The thing I didn't like about Kick-Ass was that it unfairly represented the real-life superheroes or the crime fighters or anyone in a costume. This costume is to protect my family and my identity, you know?
Right.
But as far as, like, I'm not a 130-pound nerd, and I'm also not a huge fat guy who's loved comics. I'm like 6 feet tall, 200 pounds with extensive fighting training. I would do this without the mask if they wouldn't follow me home and shoot me.
Right. I mean, you look pretty cut.
Thanks, I appreciate that. What do you say to a comment like that?
I don't know. I don't know. How do you answer that?
So this idea didn't come from watching copious amounts of movies. Are you a comic book fan or anything?
Yeah.
I mean, it is kind of ironic. We're sitting in a coffee shop that is right next door to a comic book store.
One of my favorite comic book stores. How this started is I used to read comics there and walk over here. But I've always wanted to be a superhero ever since I was little. Uh-huh. That's never been the thing. I never thought the world needed it. Like, why does someone need a superhero? I don't have any real superpowers. I mean, minus, you know, super training and super discipline. But I mean, other than that, no superpowers. But as I got older, I realized that the world does need it, not in the actual crime-fighting sense, but in the symbol sense. Like, I got a letter from someone the other day. It was a wife and her husband. They were down in Capitol Hill, and someone tried to mug them with a knife. And out of nowhere, the husband just socked the dude in the face and dropped him. One punch. Yeah. And he's like, I just thought about you when I was out there. He's like, I remember that you're, you know, 20-something-year-old kid in a suit. You know, you can't be much stronger than a 58-year-old, you know, retired ex-Marine. And I just socked him in the face. And, you know, that's what the world, not so much a sock in the face, but the world needs people to stand up for themselves. Too many people are ready to grab cameras and put the stuff on YouTube versus actually step in. Like, how many videos have you seen on YouTube where someone's like, a car's coming and there's people trying to pull someone off and there's like, you know, 8 people recording this thing from different angles?
Right.
I'm sure those 8 people could have probably pulled the dude out of the way before the car got there.
Yeah.
I'm trying to tell you, put down your camera, jump in. Don't walk down the street and see someone get mugged, jump in. Right. Like, as a group, as a whole citizen group, we have a watcher mentality, and it's ridiculous. People are getting hurt. It's not funny. Like, it's kind of funny to watch when a dude crashes his bike. That's funny, I get it. It's not funny to watch when a dude gets mugged.
Right, right.
It's not funny.
So that's basically your credo, is you are here for the citizens, the good citizens of Seattle, huh?
Yeah. I mean, everybody, the first, I know the question everyone's going to think when they see is this guy's going to die? You know, and that's that's a very, very possible. I mean, I've been stabbed and I've been shot already, and it hasn't been that long. So, I tell everybody I always don't see this ending well, but I think that the point and the message is important to put myself in that kind of risk.
Okay, and you said that before too, and I saw that in a I think it was the PI article that said that you had been stabbed, but they couldn't substantiate that. The police couldn't substantiate that.
Yeah, the reason they can't substantiate it is because Batman doesn't walk into an ER in his Batman suit. Before then, I hadn't been publicly identified by the police. I had no reason to, because I had handled most of the situations myself. There wasn't a time when I had to really arrest somebody and go to the police at that point in my career. Uh-huh. So when they asked me if I was fine, I said, of course I'm fine, because it didn't hurt that bad.
Right.
I went home and we tried to glue it, and the glue didn't hold, so we had to go to the hospital and get it stitched. Yeah. There was just no way around it. But I took off my suit and I went in as a civilian. I didn't go in as the moniker Phoenix Jones.
Right.
And you guys can't see it on Air Raid right now, but I'm actually showing the photo of it to Aaron here. Let me show you, boss.
Let's see that thing.
That's the center of my back, and that's my elbow. And that's after we glued it. Those bubbles are the glue.
Right.
But it was about 3.5 inches long and maybe an inch deep.
He is not lying. He's got a picture of a stab wound there.
Yeah, the vest stopped most of it. You can see where it rode the edge of the vest and then kind of trailed off.
So do you what kind of getup do you wear when you're actually, you know, quote unquote on duty?
It's pretty much the same as we have here. Yeah. If you look, it's like it's neoprene right here, and then there's a flap underneath. See this flap?
Yeah, yeah.
An A3 level body armor and stab plate goes inside the flap. Then underneath, I wear a regular cop body armor.
Uh huh.
And then on the side panel right here.
Yeah.
If you look, it's not connected.
Uh huh.
Underneath, under my shirt, another vest will go.
So you're wrapping yourself in some sort of bulletproof.
It's a SWAT uniform and body armor.
Wow.
With
wow.
a stab, extra stab plate on the front and the back. So,
do you feel safe when you're going out in that kind of stuff? Or, I mean, do you get a little nervous?
I get nervous because they can see me coming and I can't see them coming. Criminals blend in. I don't. It's pretty clear what I'm there for and what I'm doing. And now with this news attention, I fear I'm just going to walk down the street and get shot just cold from someone who doesn't even know they're there.
Right.
I mean, that's the reality of having that kind of news, press, and media.
Right. Well, I bring, you know, you mentioned before that you have family in the area, and that's why you wear the getup, is to kind of keep them safe, you know, when you're out doing your thing. Doesn't that worry you, though, if something goes terribly wrong, that, you know, your family's going to be super sad?
Yeah, but, you know, people die every day. I know this sounds cliche, like you walk outside and get hit by a car, you know, everyone dies. When my son came out, my car got broken into when I was at Wild Waves, and my son and I came out and we were racing to the car and he fell and he cut his knee on glass, and he was cut pretty bad, like it was squirting. And I was trying to hold my hands on it to stop the bleeding, and I was yelling at people to call 911. And some dude came over and started recording it because he was going to put it on YouTube with a phone.
And that's ridiculous.
Yeah, it was. And eventually the blood, like, hardened in one of my hands, in the bottom hand, and I was able to use my own phone to call 911 to get the 911 to come. And when the police got there, they told me it was raining, so they weren't going to dust my car for prints because there probably weren't any. Do I still want a police report? So I said, no thanks.
Yeah.
Got home, tried to file insurance, and I needed a police report to file my insurance, so I couldn't cover the insurance claim. Take him to the hospital, had to pay for the hospital claim. My window was still broken.
Right.
And it was just like, this is so ridiculously unfair. When everything could have been handled from the beginning if one citizen would have done the right thing.
Uh-huh.
And I think changing that and dying for that, it would be way more important than living and not doing anything.
Okay.
So is there a significant other in Phoenix Jones's life then?
Yes, sir.
A wife or a girlfriend?
Yeah, I've had a girlfriend of 5.5 years.
What does she think about this whole thing?
She's actually down there getting coffee, surprisingly enough.
Oh, really?
That's who I called when I came in here and I said, it's not an ambush, you can come in.
Okay.
But she's actually really proud of me. She has an alias herself, and we're working on a suit that I feel comfortable with, but she's planning on patrolling with me, so.
Really?
Yeah,
really?
I'm pretty excited about that.
So, I mean, okay, I gotta ask you, before we walked into the coffee shop, like people, you know, were walking down the street, and it's, you know, it's a pretty busy area of Seattle at night. People shaking your hand and patting you on the back and stuff, that's gotta feel pretty good, right?
Well, yeah, I think you saw when we came up, there was like a group of like 10 people who were giving me high fives and stuff. And then I had been across the street in the alleyway watching you in front of the building for a little bit, too, just to make sure that you were by yourself.
Because
you'd walk there and walk through the alley a little bit and then came back in front and stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm always around. I look pretty normal when I'm not in my super getup. So
I can see your mouth and your eyes. You look normal that way. But you might have, you know, some sort of weird gangrenous thing that I can't see. So, yeah. But you know, even with the mask on, I'm getting used to it now. It's, you know, you're kind of blending in with the surroundings here, so you don't look that weird anymore. But yeah, I see you walking down the street. So,
And just for everybody out there on Air Raid too, he has a very scruffy beard. It's like grown in but not grown in. It's kind of like the Joe Dirt of news reporters.
That I am the Joe Dirt. That's a very astute observation there,
just
Phoenix.
Pulled
yeah,
off
yeah.
A mask, but you got that beard.
I got, yeah, that's right. So we both look a little funny then.
You could say that, yeah.
Right.
So. So what do you do to protect yourself? I mean, let's say you get into a situation where you have to fight back. Do you have any weapons at your disposal? I mean, I see this big thing hanging off your waist here. Is that just a billy club or what?
I thought you'd ask here. I'll let you play with that.
Okay.
There's a little button right there. Go ahead and push that button.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. So that is a billy club with a taser attached to it.
50,000, sir.
Oh, my God.
You squeeze that metal right there?
Yeah, yeah.
Too much pressure sends that off, too. You squeeze that, try to take it away from me.
I'm not going to test that.
That's a good start.
So, okay. I mean, is it illegal to carry something like that around with you?
No. Actually, what most people don't know about Washington is it's an open carry state. Because, well, I can carry anything in the world as long as it's open. I can walk through the city with a shotgun, and it's fine.
Yeah.
It has
but
to
you're
be
not going
to
do that, right?
No.
You're
going to
turn into
a
Punisher on us, are you?
I wanted to carry a shotgun when it started, but I realized the laws, when you start looking for trouble, because I'm actually looking for trouble, right? So when you look for trouble and find it, and then if I was to shoot them, it would be very hard to prove it was self-defense because I'm interjecting myself in a situation.
Okay.
So I've got to use equal force. So if we're in a fist fight, I can throw fists. The minute you kick me, it's considered another weapon besides a fist. I could then tase you or pepper spray you.
Right.
Right? But once you...
So do you carry pepper spray too?
I do. I carry pepper spray, this taser. I have a cell phone taser, so when I'm not in my... I have my suit on underneath my clothes.
Uh-huh.
I can pull out the cell phone taser too, which is pretty interesting.
So you go the full route. You wear the suit under your clothes so you can change at a moment's notice.
Yeah, if not the suit, I at least wear the vest.
Really?
Always. Because you never really know. I mean, you can't plan for crime. So
right.
Just kind of happens.
So you said just a second ago is that you are actually looking for trouble. You seek this stuff out.
Yeah.
So how do you do that? Do you have a police scanner with you or something or what?
In this state, it's illegal to have a police scanner and to try to beat police to the scene.
Right.
So even if I had one, I wouldn't tell you.
You look very serious when you say that. But you go all around the whole city then, or do you just stick to certain areas?
Well, I used to stick to certain areas because, contrary to popular belief, even though how awesome my neoprene looks, walking around in leather neoprene pants was not always a hobby of mine that I felt comfortable with.
Right.
I would stick to geological areas I knew very well, and I'd stick to the shadows and kind of hide.
Okay.
And then just pop out when crime happened.
Yeah.
Then I realized that, you know, crime doesn't really work like that.
Right.
You got to follow trends and patterns. So I went on seattlecrimepi.com. And there's a map and a bunch of little...
red spots.
Exactly, where the crime is. And
right,
I just basically circled them and started patrolling them. After my second or third night out, I got into a huge scuffle with a guy who was a Peckerwood gang. It's a gang of skinheads that are moving up here from Oregon to Washington. I got into a pretty good scuffle there, and there was like brass knuckles, and it was super scary. So then I started saying, okay, I can't do this alone. Who am I going to call? And you know how everybody's always got friends?
Right.
Like, if you have a hobby, you're a radio host or you're an internet news host.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you have internet news friends, right?
A couple.
Right.
None that I could call in a fight, though.
Well, you could call them if you need to report news, right? Well, all my dudes, I'm a professional fighter for a living, so all my dudes are professional fighters and or ex-military good friends of mine. So I got together with a bunch of them, and I just said, hey, you know, this is what I'm doing. Do you guys want in? And surprisingly enough, no one said no. And
really? So you have it. There is actually a group. So Rain City Superhero Movement is actually a group of you that go around and patrol. Do you guys patrol together then, or just one-on-one?
We always patrol together. I'm the only one who goes out solo. And whenever I go out solo, it's more of a be seen kind of mission. Like, the goal is to empower people to do it themselves. Like, I want to go out a whole night, walk around, and find no crime. You know?
Yeah.
So I'll walk, when it's just me, I walk in like, I'll go to like Bellevue when there's not any crime and walk the streets so people see me. Go downtown Seattle during the day and walk the streets. It's to let people know I am out there.
Uh-huh.
But it's not to fight crime alone. That's
right.
Scary.
Right.
That's not a good idea.
So how long have you guys been doing this then?
It depends how you look at it. It started off with no masks.
Right.
And then people started recognizing me as the guy who breaks up fights, and I would get into fights because I was the guy who broke up fights. And then the mask started. So all in all, about 2 years. But as Phoenix Jones and the Rain City Superhero Movement, about 9 months.
Nine months. So, I mean, in that nine-month period, you've already been stabbed, right?
Yeah.
Have you been shot in that nine-month period?
Yes, sir.
And what happened in that situation?
You know, I was going to exaggerate the story, but I think I'll just tell you the truth. You know in the movies when you get shot, like all this music come out, and there's all these ladies, and they're like
totally
rubbing on you, and you got blood everywhere? Yeah, real life.
Did that happen?
No, man, it sucks. It's nothing like that. Bullets suck. But no, we turned a corner, right?
Yeah.
We're both walking, we turn this corner, and then I'm on my back.
Who were you with?
I was with D and Troop.
And those are two
guys. Troop was an Eagle Scout and then did some military stuff, and D's a good cage fighting friend of mine.
Okay.
Turn the corner and boom, on my back. And I'm looking up at the sky and I'm thinking, this sucks. And then some dude's grabbing my arms and pulling me. And I'm like, this is really weird. Why am I getting drugged through water? I'm looking around, I'm trying to figure out what's going on, and my friends are like, dude, get up. And they pull the vest off because most people don't know this, but 40% of shots to the vest actually punch the vest.
Okay.
Even though the vest stops the death blow, the bullet will still penetrate you half a bullet normally. They pull the vest off and look, and there's no damage, and we just sprinted to the car and drove away. So
really?
It wasn't really heroic. We didn't ever find out who did it. There was no crime fighting involved.
Yeah.
It was sort of just...
What was it say? I mean, you know, that's got to be pretty scary, man. I mean, yeah, that didn't deter you at all.
Oh, yeah, it did. it deterred me a lot. Yes, I sold the A1 vest and bought the A3 vest. You think I'm crazy?
So it just made you upgrade a mm-hmm. little bit. Okay.
My old suit. I was wearing the old suit when I did that. It was I have a photo I'll show you. It was an old suit. It just had basically long johns, fight shorts, the same like a belt and a bulletproof vest underneath the belt. And it was more like symbolistic than really, you know, effective. Like this, right, you can't even cut. Like if you feel the material, then give it a feel.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's pretty thick.
You can't stab it.
Yeah, that's pretty thick.
It doesn't cut. So it doesn't cut, and it's bulletproof. The old suit.
So where did you get this stuff?
There's a guy named Lance, actually, who does costume work. He did work for all the Batman movies and all that stuff.
Okay.
He's in, I don't know, I want to say like North Carolina, but don't quote me, I could be wrong. It's Extreme it's just ExtremeDesignFX.com.
Okay.
The guy's name is Lance. And if you tell him you're actually going to fight crime, he will hook it up because he's like a comic book nerd who's always wanted to fight crime.
Right, right.
So when I told him it was for real, he was very excited, you know, more than willing to help. See, this is the old suit.
See, now we're seeing a photo of Phoenix Jones's old suit here. And I think this is the one you were wearing in the picture with the police officer, right?
Yes.
In the PI? And you have... I like the fedora. I like the fedora. I think we should bring that back.
I want to. The problem is I can't wear a ski mask anymore. It's something about people getting scared of a black dude in a ski mask. I can't figure it out.
Yeah, that kind of doesn't work, does it?
I'm thinking of switching to something better, like a dead president mask. Something that doesn't scare people.
Yeah, just wear a Nixon mask wherever you go.
I'm a crook.
Right, right. Hopefully that would be made of neoprene also. It might get a little hot, though.
You know,
that nose holds a lot of sweat.
Surprisingly enough, the suit is boiling.
I can imagine, and it's pretty hot up here.
Oh, it's bad.
I'm kind of hot up here right now.
We're doing all right now, but it can get bad. It's bad when you're running, because you'll start to sweat, and instead of like actually sweating, your body has to wait till you stop running, so the suit isn't stuck to your body, and then sweat just pours. It's terrible.
That's kind of gross.
But dying is worse, so I'll wear the suit.
That's true. That's totally true. Well, Phoenix Jones, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
One more thing before we end this interview.
If you want to plug your website and
Phoenix Jones at on Facebook, you can check me out. It's Phoenix Jones RCSM, Rain City Superhero Movement. And I also wanted to say that if you read any articles about me that are negative, look for quotes, because I only give interviews to people who are legit, like Air Raid.
Like Air Raid.
I'm not giving interviews to anyone else, so it's Como 4 News and Air Raid are the only people who've had an actual interview with me.
Really?
Everything else is just written. I had to call Seattle PI because they wrote crazy stuff. I don't even own a Kia, so get your facts right.
The Kia is not the Phoenix Guardian Mobile.
Right. No, absolutely not. No. The Kia wants to give me a car now, but I'm pretty excited about that. But as far as owning one before, I never owned a Kia.
Well, I guess before we go, so, I mean, and I don't know if I already asked you about this, but you guys have been getting a lot of attention lately, and you've had some, did I see video of, like, a reporter doing, like, following you guys? Like a news reporter following you?
Yeah, Como News 4, they followed us, and they did a pretty decent job until the end. That part made me kind of mad.
I did not see it. I'm going to have to look that one up.
Well, at the end, they show me about to tase a drunk driver, right? But they don't show the beginning. So it just looks like me and this drunk driver have a problem. And here's the situation. If you're a drunk driver, that's really not something, that's not an act of violence. I look for acts of violence, you know.
Right.
No one would have a problem with me walking around the city in a mask and cape looking for trouble if I never found any. The problem is I'm finding it. That's bad. The city shouldn't need me, but it does. So I see this drunk person walking across the parking lot, falling over, and then they get in the driver's seat of their car. So I walked over and I was like, hey, hey, we got water and tacos. Why don't you come get one? So he walked back to my car, and I'm giving him a taco, giving him some water, trying to sober him up. We're out there for 20 minutes talking to this guy, and he's not getting any more sober.
Yeah.
So I said, hey, why don't I buy you a taxi ride, or at least split one with you back to your house?
Uh-huh.
He ends up living in Capitol Hill where we are. It's not even far. So I was like, why don't we just walk? It's like 10 blocks, you know?
Yeah.
Out of nowhere, the dude's like, you think I'm drunk? I'm like, well, you're pretty obvious you're drunk. Shoves Buster Doe, which is my right-hand man, into the front of my car.
Mm-hmm.
Pushes Troop and then faces off with me.
Yeah.
I didn't check him for weapons.
While the reporter is catching all this
on tape. Now, I didn't know what was going on, and none of us had started yelling yet or doing anything like that, right?
Right.
And so then immediately I pulled out the taser, flashed my taser's nightstick in the air, and I was like, hey, you need to stop right now. And that's when they started recording, I guess. And all they have is me in the face of this guy flashing off a taser and walking backwards while this guy walks towards me in a threatening manner, but still not, like, enough to warrant a taser. And then they call the police. The police take, like, 3 minutes to get there while we have the shouting match. The police show up, and then they ask us if we want to arrest him. And we're like, no, we just want him to not drive drunk. So the police say, if you take a taxi home, you're good. And we agreed, shook his hand. I actually gave him a hug at the end. He apologized and drove a taxi home. But all you see on the thing is just me and this guy with a taser. And then a handshake later, it's kind of weird the way it's done.
Right.
I wish I had the full video, because I don't go out and find, like, drunk drivers and try to tase them. That's ridiculous.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think you'd probably get arrested pretty quick if you were doing that.
You know, being a black dude in a mask with a taser already, I'm already pretty close to getting arrested. So I got to make sure I never cross the line.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Well, once again, it's been a real pleasure talking with you. And hopefully somewhere down the road we can talk with you guys again. Maybe get some of your buddies out here too and talk with them also.
You know, anytime anyone does any positive news story or really actually wants to get the facts, we will always talk to you guys.
Right.
So anything you need, any one of my members, just email me and we'll make it happen.
All right. Awesome. And you can be assured that I'm not going to edit this at all because I'm very lazy. So you can you can see that in the way that I keep
beard, right?
My beard, my Joe Dirt beard. Yeah, yeah. So once again, great to meet you, and you heard it here first, folks, on airraid.net. Phoenix Jones, the Guardian of Seattle. Thanks a lot.
Yep. See you guys later. Bye. Phoenix out.
Well, there you go, everybody. That was our amazing interview with Phoenix Jones, the Guardian of Seattle, real life superhero. Man, I can't believe I actually did that interview. I mean, listening back to it, that was pretty good. I think it went pretty well, and the guy was like super interesting, and I mean, just the stories that he told, right, were crazy. I mean, I don't know what to think. I just hope that he's listening to this right now, and that he stays safe out there, because it is a dangerous world. I hope that everybody enjoyed that and had as much fun listening to it as I did interviewing him and meeting him. And what a trip, man! What a trip! Real life superhero. Craziness. I can't even wrap my head around it. Still reeling from the experience. Anyway, thanks for tuning in to this bonus episode. This was episode 25 in what is now a long and drawn out series, right? Stay tuned for Sunday's episode, upcoming episode 26. We're going to have Cannon Canyon on, the band Cannon Canyon. They, you may remember them if you've been listening with us since the beginning. I believe they were on like episode 3 or something. Maybe it was episode 2. I had a blast with Kellen and Mike Cooper there. Mike Cooper is in the band Roy, who's going to be playing on December 11th at Hell's Kitchen in Tacoma, Washington. So make sure you guys check that out. And we're going to be listening to some Roy songs and talking with Mike about how Brian Cook got the nickname Bubble Guts on one of their tours. Anyway, so got a lot of good things coming your way from us. I hope you tune in. And remember, you can find us at air-raid.net. You can look us up on Facebook, Stitcher, great app for your smartphones and also your computer. You can find us on Zune Marketplace. And please send me your emails. I enjoy getting emails from our listeners and love to hear from you. So send me one down. I don't even know what that means. Why did I even say that? I don't know. It makes no sense. Anyway. AARON at air-raid.net. Okay, guys, thanks for listening once again. And Mr. Phoenix Jones, see, I did it again. Mr. Phoenix Jones. Why do I say that? I can't stop. Anyway, Have a great week, and Phoenix Jones, stay safe. Peace.